We'll take our Bibles and we'll look there at Mark chapter 12. We're going to make our way through these four verses. And I know that we have the Lord's Supper. And I always try to make that a very different kind of service, one where we really focus on the suffering of our Lord Jesus. Today we will not be focusing so much on the suffering. We'll be focusing on the giving, because when Jesus gave, it was quite different from when we gave or when we give, and so we hope this can be a blessing. The next several Sundays, not including today, we will all be able to participate in our church's missionary giving. We do this annually, sometimes generally in March. We've done it lots of different ways. We've had keynote speakers for 1 week, week of meetings in the evening. We've had dinners. We've had, a lot of times what we'll do this year, we'll have six different missionaries over the next 3 Sundays. Five of them will be by Zoom from their own country. So if you think of it, we would appreciate your prayers about that. Amen, Kingston, that the technology will work well. And if you haven't been here for this before, we will project on the screen the missionary or whoever he has with him. We've had lots of different ones do it differently. Maybe somebody from their church, somebody that recently got saved, could be a deacon, could be the family, different things like that. But anyway, that will be the next 3 Sundays. As far as participating in the missionary giving, what we do is we ask folks to make a promise for the next 12 months. That can be given weekly. It can be given once for all. But it is anonymous. This is not a pledge. No one knows, well, unless you tell them, no one knows the promise that anyone made. You'll never be billed for it. Why do we do it that way? Because it's between you and God. So I wanted to bring that up before the sermon today just to encourage you to pray about it. Just pray about it. Lord, what would you have me to do? That's the reason to bring it up now. It's anonymous. It's between you and God. And we're going to look at a passage here, as I've already read, where we have this lady, a poor widow. We have no idea if she was elderly or if she was very young. We have no idea. But we just know that she was a poor widow. I want to take a look at this and ask ourselves perhaps the question, how much can we give? I deliberately said we, not I. Because I'd like us to focus not so much on us as individuals, but rather us as a team, as a family, as a church. I wonder if we somehow were to able to take all of our resources as a church, all of our faithful people, and to somehow learn the total of everyone here, our net worth. Houses, lands, vehicles, minus perhaps if you've fallen into a credit trap, income. If we were to take all of that, be able to announce, this is the net worth of the faithful folks in our church. I wonder what it would be. What do you think? No idea. None. I don't have any idea of anybody, well, except for ourselves, what we have. And we don't want to know. But God knows. That's why Jesus was able to say of this widow, she has given all that she had. He knew that. And I hope today that we can take a look at this passage without not a guilt thing, but rather just take a look at what happened here and what God said, and be motivated, inspired, helped, encouraged to want something like that in our own lives, where Jesus may not look at us and say, you gave all that you had, perhaps, but where Jesus could look at us and say, that person did what I wanted them to do. And that's why we pray and ask him what he wants us to do. This text takes place just days before Jesus was being crucified. It was in the Jerusalem temple, of course. That's where they gave their offerings. And he had just warned everyone about something. We started reading at verse 41. If you have your Bible there, I hope you do. Would you look at the very verse before it, verse 40? And Jesus talked about the Sanhedrin, the scribes, specifically verse 38, and talked about how they like the long clothing, or they love it, and they want to be saluted in the marketplace. They want to be known. They want the chief seats, the uppermost rooms. But look, verse 40. He's describing him there, but then he really gives a warning in verse 40 when he said that these religious leaders devour widows' houses. Note that middle word there, widow. Okay? He's just warned everybody that he's talking to about those who devour widows' houses. That is, religious leaders who take advantage of widows, either for their own personal gain or even somehow to say that, hey, give us all that you have because this is for God's glory. And Jesus warned about that. He warned about that so that people would not be, a word just came to mind, snookered, robbed, taken advantage of. Evidently, there is this sense. I shouldn't say evidently, I just don't want to be too countercultural in this area today. If you're kind of a little, you might be a little feisty as a lady and don't want to hear anything like this, but there was a special protection for widows that Jesus had. He talked very clearly about that in the Word of God, of the need to protect and to take care of widows in specific ways, and the fatherless, he would call it. But isn't it interesting? For a pretense, make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. Don't ever believe that hell is the same for everyone or that heaven is the same for everyone. It's not the subject today. But the scripture says they shall receive greater damnation. That can be terrifying to us when we recognize that we will be judged. Those who are unsaved, those who live in continual defiance of God here by not submitting to him, by not recognizing their sin deserves hell and there is no way out except for Jesus. Those who refuse that, who continue to live their own lives as they want to instead of the way God tells them to, who made them and sustains them, those folks will stand before God in judgment one day and they will be judged according to their works and they will perish in hell forever. But their judgment will be based on their works. And the same for believers in the sense that those who put their faith in Christ as well will stand before God one day and be judged according to their works. Neither one of those, that first judgment called the Great White Throne or the second judgment I mentioned for believers, the judgment seat of Christ, neither one of them have anything to do with whether they will or will not go to heaven. That's already been determined by the people themselves on this planet. It's all about rewards or judgment. According to works for those who are unsaved, according to the works for those who are saved. I get a sense from some body language here that maybe it'd be good to spend some time on that, but not today. We could come back to that and give you good scripture so that you can know I'm not just blowing smoke here. And Jesus uses this poor widow to teach us about giving offerings. I wanted to use the screen because due to the Lord's Supper, I want to kind of go through this rather rapidly so we're not here till 1 o'clock. But I've got 7 lessons for you. And I hope that as I use this, you'll be able to see yourself personally, see exactly why I'm saying exactly what I'm saying, why and what I'm saying, and see that it's rooted in the text of Scripture. That is why I encourage you to bring your own copy of the Bible, so that you can be looking at the Word of God and saying, okay, is this really what the Bible says? Because otherwise, it just becomes a lecture. It just becomes just like some other church that doesn't even believe the Bible. Because knowing the Bible is simply not good enough. We need to know the Lord. It is as we look at a text like this and recognize Jesus didn't teach us this because he's against us. He's trying to free us from our selfish sinfulness and give us the abundant life that he died for us to have now. So seven lessons, I'll go quickly. Here's the first one. Our text says that Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. I said, as I read the text before, that word beheld means to observe, to look, to watch. Jesus watches our giving. That's the first lesson. God watches our giving. God knows what we give. He's not watching in a physical form like he was then. How would you like it if we somehow had you come forward? Some churches do this. Had you come forward and had you put the money in the plate, and then if it was announced, that's essentially what Jesus did here. I mean, that's why Mark was able to say she put in what she did, two mites, which make a farthing. Amazing to think of that. God knows what we give. God knows why we give. I think a lesson we can learn for that is this. As we learned in the Sunday school class, it's about heart. And it's very possible, brothers and sisters, to just become robotic, just automatic. That's one of the dangers of using tithely. I use tithely myself personally. But there's something good about just actually putting it in the plate, if that helps us to think, okay, I'm giving this to the Lord. I'm doing this in church. This is not a bill. I don't have to do it. I won't get billed if I don't do it. And where we consciously think, Jesus, this is for you. God, this is for you. I love you. This is not merely for our church. It's for you. I'm giving it to you. Give your offerings to this one who is watching. Recently in the Sunday school hour a couple of weeks ago, we spent some time at the end of Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus told us something that we would not know if he had not told us. When he said, make a choice with your treasures. He didn't say it like that. He said it like this. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But in contrast, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. A simple, basic choice. What do I treasure? Has nothing to do with how much money or possessions. It's all about heart. What do I treasure? And what he's saying is, don't lay up your treasure on earth, but rather lay up your treasure in heaven. Why? Why was he saying that? Well, the text room tells us. He gave the rationale. We went over this a couple of weeks ago. After he said, don't lay up on earth, but lay up in heaven, he said, here's why. He didn't say here's why. He said it like this. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we might ask the question, okay, what comes first? My heart and what I treasure? Or what I treasure, and then it influences my heart. It's both. It's either an upward or a downward spiral. And I mentioned to our Sunday school teachers this morning in the meeting, you know, it'd be wonderful if we could get saved and this issue was settled forever. Or it'd be wonderful if we could walk an aisle or pray a prayer or somehow learn some truth and then boom, it was settled forever. That's not the way it is. Our hearts, as God's children, sincere, honorable, virtuous, committed, dedicated, determined believers. But my brothers and sisters, the reality is our hearts can be hot or cold. They can, you know, it's not like on, off. You turn the light switches off, they're either on or off, unless you have a rheostat, you know, and a dimmer. That's the way our hearts are. We want to be drawn closer to the Lord. And I encourage you, if you're here and you say, I hope nobody would say this, but if you say, oh, no, man, money. I'm going to talk about giving. I think I'll go visit another church for a few weeks. I hope rather you would say, God, teach me something. Whatever you want me to know, teach me. Some of you are on a fixed income. You can't give what you used to give. I get that. Some of you have kids. Do we have anybody? I don't think we have any kids in college. There was a time we had 3 kids in college. It's like, I just signed the back of the check and sent it to the college. Not literally. You know, I mean, some of you have little children. Some of you, on the other hand, some of you don't have all of that. Hey, it's a team thing. What you want to do is not focus on the giving of the money, but the giving of the heart. That's the idea. You cannot serve God and money, Jesus said. Here's a second lesson. Look at this verse. Same verse, but different highlight. Many that were rich cast in much. That's very interesting. Jesus knew that too. He didn't criticize it. He didn't say you should have given more. He said many that are rich or were rich cast in much. How much we have has something to do with how much we give. It should. Those who have more should give more. Why? Because it all belongs to God. We should ask ourselves, I think, and this maybe can help with our missionaries. I think in America, part of the blessing of being in this nation is that we have an ocean on both sides of us. And we're friendly with our northern and southern neighbors. Very protected. That's great. It was just this past week where it was the 2-year anniversary of Russia invading Ukraine. Aren't you glad that Russia doesn't live, or that Mexico is not Russia? It could be. Why do we have such security and stability in this country? Is it because we're smart? Is it because we're special? Is it because we don't sin as much as others? No, this is the providential kindness, undeserved grace and mercy of our God. And yet it's very possible, I think, for us to get so exclusive that all we see is other people and we notice how they dress, or we notice their house, or we notice their car, or we notice their whatever, vacation or whatever they spend money on, their toys, their devices, whatever, and fail to realize how incredibly wealthy we are in this country today compared to people around the globe. It can be very helpful for us to leave the country sometime. Not to go to the tourist place, go there too if you want. But you just drive down the road. Just go talk to normal people. Just go see how they live. It can be very helpful to us because we lose sight of the big picture. And not even thinking of other countries, just to think from a history standpoint. Jesus never sat on a padded pew. That's obvious. We can take all of those things so for granted. Those who are rich, those who have more should give more. Scripture tells us upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. No one has ever prospered except for the ones that God has prospered. When we have more, that should not make us proud, it should make us humble. Because we should admit, I don't deserve this. Lord, why did you give this to me? What do you want me to do with this? And what we do oftentimes in this country is we just build bigger barns like the fool that Jesus talked about. There's something else in this very verse. Look at this. There came a certain poor widow and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. The point is if we have anything, we can give something. If we have anything, we can give something. I think about this. What in the world, mites and farthings? Did some very current research on this. You can check it out. I'm sure you can find other things online. But I looked at ZipRecruiter. And I asked the question, what is the average pay for a day laborer in Virginia right now? What is the average pay for a day laborer? What does a day laborer make in the course of one day? Well, according to ZipRecruiter, an average pay for a day laborer in Virginia as of this past week was $19.13 an hour. That would be $153 a day. But that's not what she gave. Because a farthing is the smallest Roman coin used in that day, and it is 1/64 of a common laborer's daily wage. She didn't give $153. She gave that divided by 64, which is $2.39. Now, why do I say that? Well, so that we can try to think in concrete terms rather than abstract terms. We can just try to think, okay, listen, it's very possible for us to think, well, $2.39, it's peanuts. That's true. It can't do much. You can't even buy a cup of coffee at Wawa for that, I don't think. I don't know. I guess I should have. You definitely can't at Starbucks, that's for sure. $2.39. Hey, listen. Instead of thinking, well, that's not really that much, we'll get there. Or instead of thinking, $2.39, how could that be more than everybody else? Let's think about this first. How could $2.39, or the value of it then, how could that be all she had? Well, that's why Jesus called her, I guess Mark described her in our text. No, Jesus did, verse 43. He described her as a poor widow. I'm going to say something. I don't mean it ugly or critical, but Janice and I were recently driving somewhere. It was in our trip last week, and there was a man standing, you know, with the sign, homeless, anything will help, God bless you, you know, we see those things. And I would encourage us to talk to them. I would discourage money. Take them out, buy them a coffee, buy them a burger, buy something like that. You don't know what they're going to do with the money. You don't want them to get drunk. You don't want them to go get a prostitute. You don't want them to get high. Anyway. But this guy was really well-dressed. I don't mean like well-dressed like this. But he had really nice clothes on. His net worth is not $2.39. He gave everything. Fascinating. God called Moses, and when he called Moses, one of the things he said to Moses was, you remember this? What is that in your hand? What was it? It was a shepherd's crook. What is that in your hand? God said, cast it down. And God used that crook. Ultimately, that staff, it's called, that staff is what Moses lifted to cross the Red Sea on dry land. Why? It was a magical staff. No, it wasn't. It's not about the staff. It's not about Moses. It's about God. If you have it, God gave it to you. If God gave it to you, he gave it to you for a purpose. And the purpose is not that we just consume it upon our lusts. Be comfortable. But be generous. And be a steward of all that God has given to you. The next verse, look at this one. I love this. I really was thinking about this. He called unto him his disciples. He called these handful of men and he said, hey, come here. I want to talk to you about something. He used a very poor person to teach about giving. That's fascinating to think about. If we were to say today, or maybe in the next weeks, don't plan on saying this, but if we were to say, hey, if you have a testimony about giving, God has met your needs, you've given, and somebody came and they gave a testimony and they said, yeah, you know, last week I gave $2.34. Great. You might think, wonderful. Glad to hear the background. Glad to hear how much that cost you. Glad to hear what you had left. Glad to hear whatever. Okay. But what if somebody came and they said, last week I gave $2,000 or $20,000 or $200,000? Or even more. We would be more impressed. That's who we are. God is not. He brought this poor widow. It's like, okay, of all the people that were there that gave, of all, the scripture says, many that were rich gave much. But Jesus didn't teach about giving from any of the many. He picked this poor widow and he called to him his disciples. Everyone thinks that a rich person should give. Jesus noted and expects that even a poor person can give. Why? Because we don't give because we have extra. We give because we love Jesus. That's key. We don't give because we have leftovers. We don't give because we say, okay, yeah, you know, the mortgage is paid and the credit card is paid and the car is paid and you know we've got our vacation planned and saved for. I don't know how you think or how we think. Just set that aside. We give because we love Jesus. I'm not saying go live under a bridge. I'm saying be a steward of what we have, rather than just being caught up in the tidal wave of this culture that says, you deserve it. You need this and you need that. And the constant barrage of people that say you're going to be, you know, you can do this and you can have this and you can, and they keep telling us this, and credit card companies and car, every, why are they doing that? They want your money in their pocket. That's why. That's the only reason why. You put it to a test. Stop replying. They'll stop talking to you. and somebody, how many, I won't ask how many. I'm sure if you're a homeowner, you've gotten these notes, and maybe even if you aren't, where it's like, we will offer you without inspection right now, no questions asked. We'll offer you this much money for your house, and we can do it within 30 days, and we'll pay all the closing costs. I'm always tempted. I've done this when I've gotten a phone call. Okay, you said, we'll say $200,000. I tell you what, if you up the ante to $600,000, you can have it right now. Here's the keys. You know, it's not about money. They want, it is about the money for them. They want our money in their pocket. That's why they do this. I don't mean that means that we should, I don't think our reaction be, oh, you're all a bunch of thieves. No, we don't want to go, we don't want our pendulum heart to swing that far. And they're trying to make a living, and some of them are thieves, and some of them are crooks, and some of them are covetous, and some of them hate us. I'm sure that's true of everybody. There's preachers like that. There's doctors like that. There's politicians like that. There's bad in everything, but there's good too. Jesus used a poor person to teach about giving. Why? Because we don't give because we have extra. We give because we love Jesus, and that is exactly what she did. And we keep going. How many is that? That's four. Three more. Look at this. This poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Sometimes less is more. That's the lesson. Sometimes less is more. That's what he said. Many that are rich cast in much. She's poor. All she gave was a farthing. Two mites, which a farthing. Like five pennies is a nickel. That's the idea. This poor widow hath cast more in than all they. Isn't that word all kind of interesting? He doesn't say, this poor widow hath cast more in than any of them which cast into the treasury. It seems like he's saying, if you take everything that everybody else gave and you put it all on one side on a scale and then you put her farthing on this side, this is more. She has cast more in. How can that be? Is that not nonsense? And the world says, absolutely, that's nonsense. That's stupid. But it's not. What is more impressive, $100,000 from a millionaire or $1,000 from a normal person? We don't want to just throw our brains in the trash can. We want to think carefully and recognize $100,000 is a more significant help or need. It can do more. We understand that. Much more than just $1,000, the smaller gift. But what Jesus is looking at is not merely the amount. He's looking at the sacrifice. Because that's love. And that's heart. The issue is not merely what we give, it's what it costs us to give. I think sometimes we can think, you know, I've done the missions thing. I mean, I've already given. I've done it in the past. I've done it this year. I'll keep doing what I've been doing. Well, praise the Lord. If that's what God wants you to do. But you should pray about that. I've already given enough. But God is the one who does the counting that really matters. Look at number 6. All they did cast in of their abundance. Most people just give leftovers. What's the leftover? All the bills are paid. This is leftover. I get the money for vacation. This is leftover. I got the car I want. This is the money that's leftover. It's really easy to be like that in this country. Not so much in other countries. But if we wait until we can afford to give more, we probably never will. Jesus told a rich man one day. You remember this? This is just a few chapters before in Mark chapter 10. This man came to Jesus and asked, how can I get to heaven? And Jesus said this, sell whatever you have and give to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. He didn't stop. He said, and come take up the cross and follow me. You remember this fascinating account where the Bible says that the man's reaction, it says he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. I ask the question, why did Jesus say this? Why did Jesus say to him, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor? Why would he say that? That's not how you get to heaven. You don't get to heaven by selling what you have and giving to the poor. You get to heaven by trusting Jesus. That's all. Oh, well then why did Jesus say that? Because you can only trust Jesus with your heart. He was after his heart. He wasn't after his money. The money's not the problem. The heart is the problem. He was after his heart. Jesus wanted his heart more than Jesus wanted his money. The Bible says he went away grieved. Why was he grieved? Because that man wanted his money more than he wanted Jesus. It's shocking to think about it like that, isn't it? Jesus wanted his heart more than Jesus wanted his money. This man was sad and went away grieved because this man wanted his money more than he wanted Jesus. Let's not get to heaven and find that Jesus says that's the way we are too. And then finally, the point is some people give everything. She of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. That's the way Jesus was. Jesus gave everything for us. And Jesus didn't just give his life. Jesus gave up heaven for us. If you're like me, I think about heaven a lot more. I'm not sure if that's because of age. Maybe, I don't know. I didn't used to think about heaven so much. Not like I do now. I think about it all the time. I mean, I can't wait. I just can't wait to go to heaven. Jesus left heaven. That's what he gave up. And think about, you know, when we get frustrated at people. You ever get frustrated at people? We get frustrated at people. We see the way people talk, or the way that people act, or the way people value things, or the way people whatever. Hey, it's like we said last week. They're lost. They're lost. But we can see people and interact with people and kind of resent them or kind of hate them or kind of despise them or kind of be critical of them. Jesus came here for us. He gave everything. This widow gave everything. You pray, Lord, what do you want me to give? Make that a prayer request these next weeks. And then let's see what God will do. What are you giving to him? What will you give to him?